Let's freaking our main man, Coach Herm Edwards, of course, formerly New York Jets, Kansas City Chiefs, now ESPN. He's joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And, of course, Herm Edwards, man, we love having him on the show. Herm, good morning to you, man. We got a big game on Sunday. And we're just talking about the coaches, like all-time coaches. And it's fascinating to me, Coach. Andy Reid's reputation before Super Bowl 54 in 2019 to what it is right now. And we've had some great head coaches in this league. Great head coaches. And, you know, Andy Reid's on that Mount Rushmore probably now with Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick. But we've forgotten so many great coaches like Chuck Noll of Pittsburgh, John Madden, Tom Flores, Paul Brown, Vince Lombardi. But isn't it fascinating how Andy Reid has flipped his reputation by just winning a couple Super Bowls?
Well, no doubt. And, I mean, his longevity obviously has something to do with that as well. Having a good quarterback helps.
But no doubt.
Andy, I go way back with Andy. I can remember when I first got into the profession, I was a scout for the Chiefs. And Andy was at the University of Missouri. He was the offensive line coach, a young offensive line coach, just trying to coach offensive linemen, you know, and he worked his way in the NFL and obviously really came off the West Coast tree. You can say Holmgren and those guys. Mm-hmm. He was up in Green Bay. And then from there, you know, he went to Philly, obviously had a really good stint there, and then went to Kansas City, and he's doing a marvelous job. And you're right, he'll go down as one of the better coaches ever to coach the game.
It's interesting, Coach. Like, from a coaching perspective, I saw this number being floated around the internet in terms of all the buys he's had in his career for his team, whether it's playoffs or regular season. Andy Reid is 28-3 coming off a bye week where he's had time to prepare. What does that mean to you as a coach? Why is that an important stat?
Well, I think, you know, when you get that bye, first of all, your players are getting healed up. And then as a staff, you know, you get together and try to figure out at that point in time, depending on how many games you play, what are we? You know, what kind of team are we? And every year, you know, it kind of changes. People think, well, you know, no, it changes according to the players you have. Now, when you have the quarterback that they have, obviously, you know, we know we're set there. But then the pieces around the quarterback, you know, how do we make that work, right? And we know they have Kelce. They've got a bunch of young receivers, but then they're kind of in and out of line due to injury. You know, so all these things matter defensively, scheme-wise. Are we going to become a more zone team now because of, you know, whatever? Are we going to become more man-to-man and bring pressure? I mean, so all these things are discussed during the bye week.
You know, Coach, what makes it difficult to prepare for Andy Reid coach team? We talk about the bye week record, but I think this guy has had, he's coached in the league as a head coach for 26 years. He's been in the league for 33 years, but it's just a head coach, Herm. He's never won less than 8 games 3 times. He had 3 seasons where he's won less than 8 games, which is crazy. But what makes it difficult when you're preparing for an Andy Reid coach team?
Well, obviously offensively, you know, he is going to attack your deficiencies on defense. You know, he's going to have a way to do that with motion, formations. And, you know, it's all a matter of in that first period of play, those first 12 or 14 plays, he's looking, you know, he's trying to figure out what you're going to do when he gives you this look, when he gives you this look with this personnel group. So he's constantly changing personnel groups. There's constantly motion. You know, he's going to figure out what you're trying to play on him, and then from there he attacks it. You know, the game's all about adjusting. Mm-hmm. You know, when you line up in formations and you have personnel groups and you start in motion, is he more man-to-man? Is he a two-shell? If that's the case, then we can run it a little bit more. He's gonna attack the deficiencies of the coverage you're in.
Coach, if you're from the 49ers' perspective, you lost this team in the Super Bowl. And look, it's a regular season game. It's not the end-all, be-all. And I know the players have been indicating, hey, we've moved on from the Super Bowl. It's just another game. But we know it means a little something different. You know, you're in that room. You're preparing here. What does it mean to guys that were on the team last year and were on the staff? We know it still stings, and you want to win the game, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, not only that, I think don't lose sight of this. I mean, this is the measuring stick. The Kansas City Chiefs are the measuring stick. I mean, if you want to participate in the Super Bowl, this is the team. And, you know, this is what the Kansas City Chiefs face every week, not just against the 49ers, but against every team. You're going to get their best shot. And Patrick Mahomes will tell you, I'm not playing good. He's correct. He's not. He's thrown as many interceptions as he has touchdowns. But what this team can do when you boil it down and it gets into the fourth quarter and the game is close, they know how to close games out. That's the difference, guys. I mean, that's what makes them unique. We saw this with the New England Patriots when Captain America was the quarterback, right? Captain America, obviously, is Tom Brady. I call him Captain America. And, you know, they close games out. I mean, when big moments occur, when you got to make plays on offense or defense, these guys seem to come up with the play to close the game out.
Wow.
And that's just the way it is. It's just, and that's where the 49ers, the last couple weeks, when they were struggling, they weren't finishing games, guys. That's why they lost. It wasn't like they were getting blown out. They were in the games, but they just weren't finishing them. Now, a bit of their problem is, on offense, you know, I mean, I'm going to say it. Half of their offense is with the guy that ain't playing right now, McCaffrey. When he don't play in that offense, it's different, guys. And Mason's done a fabulous job, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, when you have McCaffrey, it's a whole – you got a handful when that guy's back there. Because he's going to run it, but here's what he's really going to do. He's going to catch it. And the problem is, when he's in the game and they throw him a pass, they're always in second and four. This offense is about moving the chains, right? Mm-hmm. That's how they get you, man. Well, Mason can't catch the ball like McCaffrey. He's a unique guy. Think about the history of this guy.
Yeah.
His dad, look, I go way back with the McCaffrey family. Played against his daddy, coached against his son. They were all receivers. He just happened to be a running back. I tell people all the time, he's inherited receiver skills because everyone in his family played wide out. And the mom is probably the fastest of the group because she was the track runner.
that's such a good point, Coach. We're talking to Coach Herb Edwards here on the River Islands guest line. Always fun to have him on a morning roast, man. That's such a good point about McCaffrey and his family lineage here. You talked about closing, and obviously the Niners haven't closed that Super Bowl or didn't close the Super Bowls against the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it more simply because they don't have McCaffrey? Because it seems to be a stigma with Kyle Shanahan. I don't blame him for the Super Bowl with Atlanta. He wasn't the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator. They put the 28-3 lead. It's hard for me to blame Shanahan for that. But when you look at the 49ers and all the close games they have lost and have a 10-point lead or not being able to come back in the fourth quarter, what is the missing ingredient when it comes to closing a football game, especially a big game?
Well, you know, like defensively, you're going to have to make some critical stops. And I think, you know, when you watch him play with McCaffrey, obviously they can get it done offensively. On the other side of the ball, defensively, can you make the plays in the back end of your defense when people are throwing the ball? Can you get off the field, right? And as of late, there's some games where these guys have given up some big passes, right? And that's generally not them. They generally don't do that. But that's kind of been their Achilles heel, guys, if you watch them play. They've given up at the wrong time the big pass play. And whether it's catch and run, whether it's, you know, now the secondary's been a little bit wounded. There's been guys in and out of that. I get all that. But that's where it all – because, guys, let me tell you something. When you're leading in a game, the thing you better understand is two things got to show up, pass rush and secondary. You got to show up. So that's where you're getting attacked. But that's what this game evolves to, guys. It's a quarterback-driven game, and when you're playing against good quarterbacks, and they have the possession. They have the last possession. Your pass rush and your secondary have to make plays.
Yeah. Coach, we in San Francisco, we've talked a lot about special teams and just their, they haven't been good, and it's been like a mixed bag.
No,
take me through as a coach how do you balance this out? You got a lot of injuries, so you have guys that are normally on special teams now playing defense as opposed to special teams. You're probably not practicing it as much as you would like. Like, walk me through how you adjust and fix your special teams when you know it's a glaring issue.
Well, and you're right. It's a third of the plays that you play. You know, whether you're kicking it, punting it, receiving it, however you want to look at it. And, you know, in big moments, they kill you. Especially, you know, at times we've watched a lot of these games. It isn't unusual anymore where kickers, you know, 50-yard kicks are like 35-yard kicks anymore. And all of a sudden when you miss some kicks or you mishandle a punt, I've always said this, and I don't know the stat anymore, but it used to be, when you blocked a punt and ran it in for a touchdown, 90% of the time, guys, you won the game on a blocked punt for a touchdown. 90% of the chance, you're going to win that game. It was eerie. It was an eerie stat, man. And, you know, I just think sometimes guys are a little bit careless about special teams, you know, like this new kickoff rule. They call it dynamic. I don't know how dynamic it is, but you know, it really hasn't become what we thought it was going to become, right? And I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it to protect the players. I get all that. I got no problem with that. But it's just a play where they thought, well, if we do it this way, people won't go to the refrigerator and, you know, get a beverage or whatever, because no one wants to watch a kickoff because they kick it in the end zone, nobody returns it. Well, basically, people are still going to refrigerate on the kick that, because it ain't turning out real good, guys. When I look at it, I'm like, okay, you know, I get it. But special teams, you're right, is a big part of it, and generally, special teams are going to win. They're going to win two or three games for you.
Yeah, and they could certainly lose games for you, as we see with the 49ers in two of these three losses here. Minnesota and, of course, the L.A. Rams, when they ran the fake punt and had the big punt return at the end of the game. We're talking to Coach Herm Edwards here on the River Islands guest line. Coach, I got to ask you this, because we're talking about Purdy and how productive he is, and you mentioned how McCaffrey's been out, and that's been a difference. There's no doubt in the red zone. The Niners were, what, 9-24 in the red zone so far this season? I could be wrong there. Got to update my math, but they haven't been good in the red zone. This Chiefs defense, how do the Niners move the ball against this Chiefs defense that's become one of the better units in all of football?
Well, I think, you know, I, for me, it's kind of like the same thing that the Chiefs have. Who can cover Kittle? Nobody. Who can cover Kelce? Nobody. And I think you got to run it a little bit more with Kittle being involved in the passing game. He doesn't get enough passes, in my opinion. Kittle can be like Kelce.
Yeah.
He's a handful of guys. And you know, at times they use him, but he doesn't catch as many balls as I'm like, hey, man, this dude needs to. Now, they started targeting him here, you know, a couple weeks. I mean, a week ago, they started giving him the ball. I said, to me, that's the guy that has to catch the ball for, because he can make up. He's really the go-to guy, right in those easy zones, right over the ball and, you know, against linebackers. I mean, you get him matched up against guys, man, this dude is a weapon. So, for me, I think he's got to be more involved in the offense. You know, Ayuk, when he was out, obviously, he was a little rusty. He missed all that time, and he got to miss his time. But now he's back in the groove a little bit. Debo's the guy that's kind of interesting. You know, at times, he's quiet. I mean, you don't hear from him, right? I mean, you go through, like, the first half of the game, you say, where is Debo? Why does he catch a ball like this? Or whatever. So, I just think it's one of those deals where, you know, I think Purdy's an efficient quarterback. He does a nice job, doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot at all. He's trying to make more plays and extend plays with his legs, and it almost looks it doesn't look natural, but he does it.
Right.
He makes some plays. You know, I mean, this offense is based on timing, guys. This is the West Coast offense. I mean, you know, they want to play from the pocket. They want to get the ball out to their pass catchers who can run after the catch. So, that's how the West Coast system was evolved with Bill Walsh. But, you know, look, this is a team that has playoff experience. They're a good football team. The expectations are always high on them. You would say right now, if you were looking at teams in the NFC, like, I get it, the Minnesota Vikings are 5-0. That whole division, that division was 17-5 or something like that.
They're legit in the North. That's the toughest division of football.
So, you know, I think the team everyone's looking at now, especially after when they went to Dallas, because they bullied them, was the Detroit Lions. They went and bullied the Cowboys, guys. That was a bully game. They walked into their home and bullied them. And it was like, this is what we're going to do to you, and you ain't going to stop us. And they didn't. They sent a message, I think, to the National Football League with that win in Dallas.
Coach, I'm not going to waste your time and ask you who's going to win or anything like that. We were having fun before this segment, and I was joking around like, hey, if I had to pick a tag team partner in Bay Area sports history for athletes, I might pick Bill Romanowski to be my tag team partner because, you know, Romo's a little out there. You know, I might need somebody to back me up. If you were to put together a tag team of who your partner would be for you in this hypothetical of all the guys you coached or played with, who would it be?
And I'm playing what? So what are we doing?
You're doing WWE wrestling.
Yeah, your tag team. Your tag team champ,
WWE
coach.
WWE wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, who would I take? Of all the guys?
Yeah, like, would you take, I don't know if you, like, for example, Barcells might take, you know, Lawrence Taylor. He would want Lawrence Taylor on his team.
Oh, okay, I got you. I would probably take, let me think who I would take. I played with some interesting guys. You asked me to get one of the crazy guys, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be anybody. It could be
anybody.
Sapp.
It could be a talker.
Sapp in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, anybody. You know?
Anybody.
Oh. Well, you just mentioned it.
Warren Sapp?
Lawrence Taylor.
Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, let me tell you something now. I was in that era when he played. Oh, man. No, this is how good he was. Generally, when the defense goes off the field, you know, you sit on the bench and people are coaching you up. When we used to play against the Giants, the first series or two, all the defensive players would stand up just to watch this guy. Because we can't block him. We can't block him. 56, we can't block this dude, man. And it was like, it was almost like, this is a crying shame. He's getting ready to wreck the game. Hey. I mean, we said that as a defense, right? That's how good this dude was. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Man. I missed that era so much. I mean, they had Pepper Johnson, Leonard Marshall, Carl Banks. Yeah. I mean, Harry Carey. Then you had Washington with Charles Mann and Dexter Manley. What the hell was going on in the NFC East back in those days?
And then watch this one. How about Randy White?
Wow. With Dallas Cowboys, yeah.
How about Randy White? That man, Hand Monster. That's what you call that dude, man. That dude was something now. He was like, whoa. I saw Randy White run a running back down, about 50 yards, running back broke, and he ran him down. I said, who is that dude, man? He said, that's Randy White. I said, he's a damn defensive lineman. How can he run that fast? He was unbelievable, too, man. He was a good player. They were back in the day, man. There were some good players back in the day.
Well, hopefully Bosa could become one of those players. He had a hell of a game last week. He's going to need a hell of a game this week against Mahomes and company here. We'll see about this pass rush. Home, Kirks, we got to talk to you soon, man. We'll do it again within the next month, man. You're always good to us, man. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best.
Anytime. Coach Herm Edwards.